Dara and I sometimes enjoy watching a movie together. And those movies, there has very complicated plot maybe. And sometimes a twist here, a twist there. And we say, oh, where is it going? And we expect it this way, but then it turned out to be something very different. And we enjoy some of these twists and some of these movies. Well, today's story in this gospel is also very fascinating, with surprising twists and turns as well. A chain of events kicks it off. In verse 21 it says, some people came to Philip. And Philip then went to tell Andrew. And then Andrew and Philip together, they went to tell Jesus. Well, if we are willing to engage one another, not necessarily expecting them to turn up at church immediately, but willing to go where people are comfortable and take their questions seriously, amazing things can happen. And I think this is the first learning points that we can draw from this incredible story. We as a church need to make this a priority, just as Philip and Andrew did. Priority for our ministry. All kinds of organization can do all kinds of good in our city, but not all can show people the way to Jesus. We need to make this our priority, to know Jesus and to follow him ourselves, to make him known to others. Sounds familiar? And that, I say, will be the first point that we can draw from this wonderful story that we heard from the gospel. Well, let us unpack this further and see what else the Spirit may wish us to learn this morning out of this story. The people came to see Jesus. The Bible says they are Greeks. This opener is great. Some Greeks come to Andrew and say, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Sometimes the starting point is that desire, that wish of something to happen. They wish to see Jesus. And this shows Jesus his reach of spreading his teaching and his presence beyond the border of Israel. Jesus is for everyone, including the Greeks, including many other people of this world today. But let's check out the fine print as well. These Greeks are among those who are already going up to the festival to worship. In other words, they are already drawn to God, the God of Israel. They may or may not be totally there yet, but they are already worshipped. God has been doing things that we may not know to draw people to himself, to win them over, and to make them ready and ripe. And maybe there is this wisdom here for us to learn. Every one of the people that you and I meet could be someone God has already been working with, drawing them along and calling them out to them. The good news that we may have is that we have the opportunity to share. It may not be the very first truth they get to know about, but building on what has already been started. Someone else might have spoken to that person. Someone else might already introduce a little bit about Jesus Christ. But when we come across that person, it is our job to build on it, to build on what's already started and draw that person closer to God. The Holy Spirit might already have nudged that person to be closer to God. Well, then the next thing they ask is that we want to see Jesus. Very specific. Not just anybody, but they want to see Jesus. They must have heard something about Jesus and his wonderful teaching. Somehow, the Holy Spirit has called these Greeks to come to the festival, but make this request. They may not necessarily want to have a theological discourse, but quite often Jesus would hit people with a parable or a theological discourse. Surprises, surprises. When non-Christians encounter a follower of Jesus, that's you and I, when non-Christians encounter any one of us, it would be smart to try to meet the needs and the question that they may have about God. We may not have all the answers, but would do well to listen to what they are inquiring about. And most importantly, you and I need to show who Jesus is. Show them Jesus. Now, that might mean some sincere caring that we want to show people. It might be a welcoming way of introducing the person to our church and to our community. It may mean tending to that person some tangible needs, not just saying sometimes, "Oh, I will pray for you," and then walk away. But that person may require us providing some help and needs along the way. Or it may mean just simply being who we are, with Christ in us, living in a way that show Christ to others. But one way or another, let us show Jesus to others. That's a better invitation to anyone to the kingdom of God than try to complete an argument or a well-rehearsed spill on church tradition. Another point we can draw from the story is when Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Jesus' response to these questions seem a little off the topic. He ends up diving in about losing their lives and then gaining it. I think if Jesus had been running for political office, his campaign team would have taken him aside and said, "Lord, you need to be more careful what you say to people. Take that rich man who show an interest in following you, he would have made a very useful member of our team. But why did you have to challenge him right from the start and to sell all his possessions and give the money to the poor and come follow you? Why couldn't you have introduced that subject more gradually? And what about now? Anyone who loves their life and will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Why couldn't you have kept this information from them for a little while longer? If you keep shooting yourself in your foot like this, Jesus, you're never going to get elected or be the king." It is possible to read Jesus' response as an exact diagnosis of the situation. Jesus finds people wanting to know him better. Jesus responded that the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Something significant is coming. That's what Jesus is saying. And it is here soon. This is the reason, he says, he came into the world. This is the giving of his life. Both here, face to face with his disciples and the strangers and the Greeks and whoever else were there. But in the end, it is about his giving of his life on the cross. Another point. And again, Jesus going off topic, say, are you giving a botany lesson here? Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, what Jesus saying here is true, but he wasn't making a scientific point about plants and animals. This is the straight talking of Jesus. He was using the seed as a metaphor to talk about losing our lives for the sake and finding real life. Life is found only in and through Jesus. That is Jesus' point. And the fifth and final point here is that a voice then came from heaven. After Jesus said all this, whether on topic, off topic, strange or whatever, suddenly a voice came. A supernatural thing happens. He calls out to God to glorify him, and God answers. A voice came from heaven. In verse 23 it says, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. So here we have another moment of revelation. It happened at Jesus' baptism some time ago. It happened on the Mount of Transfiguration some time ago. And it happened in the end as Jesus is on the cross, when he was hung on the cross. But here, the here and now, it seemed almost at random. Jesus is chatting with some acquaintances, some strangers, some Greeks, and God speaks from heaven. Maybe there is something for us to ponder here. When people are face to face with God and with Jesus, seeking to see him, listening to him, God speaks. God speaks. Maybe it has always been like that anyway. But sometimes we can't or we don't see it. Certainly the people then couldn't see it. That's why some thought it was thunder. Some it was an angel who was speaking. But Jesus knew it was the voice from the Father, the God. And John, who wrote the gospel, also knew it was God speaking. God spoke from heaven and many people missed it. I suspect it still happens a lot of the time today. So dear brothers and sisters, let us make sure that when God speaks to you and I, today or any other day, we don't miss it. We don't miss it. So let me just put it all together. Today, by God's grace, you and I get to see Jesus. We have the whole Bible. We have all the story. We have the gospel. We have all the letters, everything that many people didn't have before. We, you and I, can see Jesus through the Word of God. We get to see Jesus, not the physical sense, but the spiritual sense. We have heard Jesus' words. We have worshiped and prayed and gathered in his name. That's what you and I do here on St. Luke's every Sunday morning, or Wednesday, or at Bupa, or wherever else. We have been set free from sin, from death, and the devil. We have been reminded that we are now God's people, that we belong to Jesus, and we live in God's kingdom. Thank God that we are there. Amen.